Our lesson tonight is going to be a little less current eventish than usual, and a little more, I think, futuristic. Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 12. We use it often in these over 20 weeks we've been teaching on the church. Tonight I'm going to teach on the subject, the church in heaven. The church in heaven. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 22. And once we have finished reading these verses, keep your Bibles open there if you would please, because we'll come back to them and spend all of our time on, well, almost all of our time on these three verses. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Our Heavenly Father, and our Father, instruct us from the book of God concerning the church of God. In Jesus' name, amen. We are so prone to take little non-denominational cliches, and I hope I do not cause you to hate non-denominational people, but I also hope I cause you to have a spirit of core and loyalty to the Baptist heritage you've never had before in all your life. I have no axes to grind against anybody. I'm trying to elevate our Baptist heritage instead of trying to run down anybody else. But we have for so long taken little cliches. For example, one tonight that I'm going to mention, and that is we talk about in this church age. Now, just who in the Bible talked about a church age? What I want to know. I hear preachers all across the country saying we're coming to the end of this church age. Truth is, we'll never come to the end of the church age. But they say we're coming to the end of the church age, or in this church age. I talked the other night about the bride of Christ and how we flippantly, without any scriptural background at all, talk about we're part of the bride of Christ. And there's nothing in the Bible about that. I've talked about the mistakes we make about the body of Christ. The body of Christ is simply the body that Christ owns. It's his by ownership. And talk about him being the head of the church. He's not the head of the church in the fact that he's the eyes and the nose and the tongue and the mouth of the church. He's the boss man of the church. That's what it means when it says he's head of the church. He's in charge of it. And tonight, I'm not going to attack anything, but I'm going to show you that there's no such thing as the end of the church age. And there's no such thing as a church age. The word church means called out assembly. In the Old Testament, when the Israelites were called out of Egypt and assemble in the wilderness, when Stephen talks about that, preaches about that, he called it the church in the wilderness. Now, that doesn't mean it's a New Testament church, but it was a church. It was a called out assembly. In the 19th chapter of Acts, when a mob of people met to try to manhandle Paul, the Bible says they're called a mob in Ephesus, but the word there is the word ecclesia, which means a called out assembly. And so tonight I want to talk about that called out assembly in heaven. Now, I've told you again and again, there is no such thing as the invisible church. There is no such thing as the universal church. I've taught you where that came from Catholicism down through Protestantism and on down through non-denominational crowd. And it's it's been filtered into our group, and we almost accept it as being true. Because Mr. Schofield put his pants on one leg at a time. Mr. Schofield, if he didn't use deodorant, he had a hard time smelling real good. And if he didn't brush his teeth, his breath was lousy. Now, Mr. Schofield was a man, just like you're a man and I'm a man. Well, some of you are not men, but Schofield was a man. And by the way, Mr. Schofield was not a Baptist. And the people in Mr. Scofield's day that were Baptists, he wasn't for them very much, you see. And so this thing about the church age, I'm going to show you tonight that the church age will never stop. It will never, never stop. Now, in our passage tonight, it talks about the church of all believers. Now, all believers do not form a church now, because all believers have never been a called out assembly. I've said that over and over and over again. I said, Rich, I'm tired of hearing it. You're going to get tighter and tighter and tighter and tighter, because I want our preacher boys to go out of here and not build invisible churches. Invisible churches have invisible members, and invisible members send invisible tithes to the church house. And I don't like spooks around the church house. I like real live people. So there's no such thing as the invisible church. There's no such thing as the universal church. That's a Catholic doctrine came to us through the Protestants and non-denominational people. The only church there is today is the local body of believers, a called-out assembly even, as we are right now. There is, in this age, the Bible says, one faith, one Lord, one baptism, and one body. One body. And that body is the local church, which is his body. He owns it, and it is the only church in existence today. But there will be a day, as I've taught you before, and as I preface this study tonight, there will be a day when all believers will be called out, and they will assemble in heaven, or in the air, and that's what we call the rapture. And at the rapture, all believers will be called out, and then they'll assemble in heaven, and then all believers will become a called out assembly, and then and only then will all believers become a church. Now, that's what I want to talk to you about tonight. In our verses we read a while ago and shall investigate tonight, we have a chronological view of the future of this church. Now, bear in mind this. That's the invisible church. I'm sorry, that won't be invisible. It'll be in the air. But that's the church of all believers. That's when we do become the bride of Christ. We're not the bride of Christ now. I'm not a member of the bride of Christ now, and you're not a member of the bride of Christ now. We're a member of a group of people that someday at the rapture will become a called out assembly and will assemble in the sky, and then we will be married to Jesus and will be his bride, and only then will we become the bride of Christ. However, when we become the bride of Christ and the called out assembly, the church meeting in the air, when all believers are in that church, then we have a chronological order in these three verses of what we're going to do and what we're going to see. You'll be amazed when you find out all that's in these verses. Look at verse number 22 of Hebrews chapter. Let's look at verse 23 first. To the general assembly and church of the firstborn. All right? That word church is the word ecclesia. So we're talking tonight about the church in the sky when all believers are raptured and become the church. Now back to verse 22. I wanted to show you the chronological order, what's going to take place when that church is called out. All right, look. But ye are come unto Mount Zion. Look at me right now. Let's stop right there. When we're called up to meet the Lord in the air, as soon as we're married to Jesus, then we launch a series of events. And one of the first thing is, Jesus is going to come back to the earth and become the king of all the earth, and his headquarters will be Mount Zion. Now, Mount Zion is a big hill in Jerusalem, and Jerusalem then will become the capital of the entire world. Let me lead up to that in a little review for you. Let's just see what we're talking about. The country of Russia is one day, maybe soon, and by the way, Mr. Bush and Congress, don't let your guard down. And the reason right now that's what's happening in the world is because we did become the strongest country militarily in the world. And Mr. Reagan got us respected. I mean respected like feared once again. And if we got in his sense, we'll keep feared. And we're going to keep the peace like we got the peace. And so, but Russia one day is going to march on little Palestine, because she wants the wealth of Palestine. Russia's going to have with her the country of Libya, the country of probably eastern Germany, some folks think all of Germany, and Russia's going to have with her Turkey and Ethiopia, and she's going to march down, also she's going to have Iran with her. She's going to march down from the north and try to conquer little Israel. When she does that, the Western powers, under the leadership of the man that we call the Antichrist, he is going to lead the Western powers to come and say to Russia, you can't have Israel because you're coming to take a spoil. You're going to try to get the wealth in the Dead Sea and the wealth of Israel, and you're not going to do it. And so there's going to be a war between the United States, that's the Western powers, and the revived Roman Empire, called the European Common Market if you want to call it, but the Western Confederacy, and they will come and defend little Palestine. When that happens, they will be winning that war, but all of a sudden, the nations from the east will come, the land of the sunrise, in the Bible says. I'm talking about China, and I think likewise Japan. And they will march. The Bible says that the Euphrates River will be dried up, so those nations can come from the east and march across the Euphrates River on dry land. Did you read just the other day where Turkey is drying up the Euphrates River? I mean, it's already now. All we've got to do is just get this thing started. If Russia will hurry up and attack, and we can get this battle going, you and I'll be gone. See, we've got luxury boxes up there is what we have. And get this thing going. It's all set now. Hurry up. Come on, Gabriel. Get the lead out of your britches, and let's get on this thing. And... So, and the horn must be broken or something, but anyway, then you're going to have a lulu of a war. You're going to have Russia coming from the north. You're going to have Ethiopia coming from Africa. You're going to have Iran coming from the east, Middle East. You're going to have Germany coming from the western part, probably eastern Germany at least. And then you're going to have the United States and the Western powers under the Antichrist fighting against Russia and her allies, and then you're going to have reinforcement coming from China and from Japan, and there's going to be a tragic war there on in the little land of Palestine. Now, Russia is not going to conquer the world. The West will win that war. The Bible says it'll take 7 months for all of the dead Russians to be buried that'll be killed in this war in Palestine, and then the West will win the war. Now, bear in mind that the Antichrist doesn't come from Russia. He comes from our side. And we will win that war, and the man of sin will conquer the entire world. And there, for a moment, he will be the king of the whole world, and he thinks he has it all won. He looks to the south, and he sees that there are no enemies left to conquer. He looks to the north. He sees there are no enemies left to conquer. He looks to the east. He sees no enemies left to conquer. He looks to the west. He sees no enemies left to conquer, but there's one place he forgets to look. He forgets to look up. And all of a sudden, Jesus shall come, and he'll come with us. And we'll all be riding on white horses, and he'll come back. Now, that is what the Battle of Armageddon is. The Battle of Armageddon is not when Russia fights against the Western powers, and the Western powers defeat Russia and China and Japan and so forth. The Battle of Armageddon is after the Battle of the Nations is over, and the Antichrist has become ruler, and he sets himself up in the temple as God, worshipped as God. And then he becomes the king of all the world, and then Jesus comes from the sky. And how does he put down the Antichrist? That's easy. The Bible says, with the spirit of his mouth and the brightness of his coming. What will he say? I know what he'll say. He'll say to the Antichrist, drop dead. Or maybe he'll get more spiritual and say, droppeth deadeth. I don't know. But he'll say, drop dead. I don't know what no matter what he says. And I'll say it again. Everything that God has ever done, he's done through his word. That's all God needs. That's all he needs. When God created the heavens and the earth, he spoke. He said, let there be, and there was. It was God speaking that brought forth. And the Bible says that he'll come back and consume the Antichrist with the spirit of his mouth and the brightness of his coming. And by the way, we, the church, will be with him then. Because it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it says that after the rapture, so shall we ever be with the Lord. So we're going to hang around Jesus all the time after that, and we'll never be parted from Him ever, ever again. So, the church is up in the air. Finally, Mr. Schofield has caught up with us, and these non-denominational people have finally realized that they were wrong and that I was right. And when the whole world realizes that, the world will be a lot better off. But anyway, the all believers have become a church. We are assembled. We are called out assembly. And we shall remain a called out assembly throughout all eternity and shall remain a church, having been called out and assembled in the sky. Now, the church will be there. When Jesus comes again, the church comes back with Him. All believers, we come back with Him. Then He comes to Mount Zion, and that's what it means when it says right there. It says, but ye are come unto Mount Zion. So what's the first thing the church is going to do? Listen to me. What's the first thing the church is going to do? Young ladies back here, listen to me. What's the first thing the church is going to do? She's going to come back with Jesus after she becomes a church. After all believers become a church, we'll come back with Jesus to Mount Zion. And we will rule and reign with Him for 1,000 years, and the church will be in the kingdom. Now I want you to notice again in that verse number 22. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. All right, look at me. There's the next thing we're going to do. First, we're going to come back to the church and reign with Jesus on Mount Zion. After we have come back to Mount Zion and reign with Jesus, then the church, the Bible says, we're called to the heavenly city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. So what will happen? We will then be ushered into our city, the holy city. John mentions it in Revelation 21:2. And I, John, saw the holy city coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And we, as the called out assembly, then will enter in to our new Jerusalem, and we will live in the new Jerusalem forever and ever and ever in the city of the living God, and the church will be there. Now then, I'm getting ready to tell you some real pretty things right now. All right, let's review a little bit. Is there an invisible church now? Is there a universal church now? What is the only church there is now? First Baptist Church of Hammond, that's right. And so the local church is the only one. There's some girls back here. I'm going to call your names in just a few minutes. I want you to pay attention and listen to what I've got to say. You might not be such spiritual giants, but that you might need something I'm going to say. I doubt if you do, but sit still and shut up. All right. Now then, I'm talking to you. One looking innocent. That's what I'm talking to. All right. It's two deacons. But anyway, we as a church become a church when we're at the what? At the what? Rapture. And then we meet the Lord in the air, and then we become a what? A called out assembly, which is the meaning of the word church, which in the Greek is the word ekklesia, a called out assembly. Now, once we have assembled in the sky, then as a church, we come back to Mount Zion, and Jesus rules for 1,000 years on Mount Zion, and we as a church rule with Him as a called out assembly. Now then, look at verse number 22 again. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, that's coming back to the earth and the kingdom, and unto the city of the living God, that's the new Jerusalem we live in, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. I love it. That word company is an interesting word. It means 10,000. 10,000s. 10,000 was the number of innumerableness. Is that a word? It is now. Ten thousand, like you, okay, we sing. When we've been there 10,000 years, what do we mean? We mean when we've been there over and over and over again. Like a little girl wrote me on my birthday a couple of years ago, and she said, "Dear Brother Hiles, I love you so much, I hope you live to be 50. Now, to her, 50 was as old as a person could get. 50 was the infinite, if you please. And so, The truth is, 10,000 stood for the infinite. When they said, boy, we live forever, they're saying, we'll live for 10,000 years. When the Bible talks about angels, it talks about 10,000s of angels. And so that's what it means here when it says to an innumerable company of angels. Now, I want you to notice that comma after the word angel. See that? That means that that we continue the sentence in the next verse. To the general assembly. Now look at me. The word general assembly there is the Greek word panegyrus. This is not the same word of the call out assembly. We'll get to that in a few minutes. Now this is not the called out assembly. It is an assembly. The word panegyrus in the Greek is a word that means any kind of an assembly of the same kind. If all the Ford workers meet somewhere and in place, that's a panegyrus. If all of the General Motors workers meet somewhere, that's a panegyrus. So the Bible says we're coming to an innumerable company of angels to the General Assembly. What does it mean? It means there's going to be an assembly of all the angels. All the angels are going to get together. And it says, to the General Assembly and Church of the Firstborn. That's us. So for the first time, we're going to assemble with all the angels and all the Christians together. Over in Revelation, it talks about that great company of angels and born-again people that are going to sing. You talk about a singing. Good night. And all these tens of thousands and millions of angels and all of God's redeemed people, and even tells what we're going to sing. Blessing and honor and glory and majesty and power be unto Him that sitteth upon the throne forever and ever and ever and ever. And we're going to sing. And at that time, we are going to meet the angels. Now, I love this. You see, the Bible teaches that each of us has an angel. His old Dr. Sam Morris used to say, his wife was an angel. He said she's always up in the air harping about something. And I'm not talking about your wife. Your wife's a fallen. But anyway, all of the angels. Now, you know, you have an angel that's in charge of you. That angel is called your guardian angels. Jesus said one time, talk about little children. Said, their angels do always behold the face of my Father. What does it mean? That means these little boys down here have angels. They don't need them right now because they're sound asleep. But they don't need an angel right now. And the mother doesn't need an angel either for the same reason. But anyway, don't you think, doesn't that sound exciting to you? To meet the guy that's taking care of you all these years? I got a few crows to pick with mine, I'll let you be sure. But my angel has been off a few days in my lifetime. But we will then be able to see our angels. And the Bible says that angels are ministering spirits. Don't forget that now. Angels are ministering spirits. Now, that means in that day, we'll be able to see spirits. Don't forget that, and we'll come back to it in a few minutes. That's what it says, Hebrews chapter 1, angels are ministering spirits. Don't forget that. So in that day, we'll be able to see spirits. Spirits are not invisible, we just don't have the eyes that can see them, that's all. But in those days, we'll see these spirits. Our eyes will be open, we'll be given eyes that are spiritual eyes, and we can see spirits with our spiritual eyes. So I'm going to say to my angel, hello, bud. How you doing? And for you ladies' sake, angels are always in the masculine gender in the Bible, never in the feminine gender. It is unscriptural. It is of the devil. It is wicked and vile and sinful for you to call your wife an angel. It is scriptural for you to call your husband a little angel, because angels are always in the masculine gender. And, of course, that's the way it should be. I'm going to preach the book whether you like it or not. But anyway, so we will get to see our angels. And as no, I can't wait to find out what Gabriel looks like. I can't wait to find out what Michael looks like. I don't give a flip what Lucifer looks like. But our angels will be revealed to us. All right, let me go back. All believers are not a church now, just a local body of local churches. But at the rapture, all believers will be called up to meet the Lord in the air. And then we will assemble in the air and will become a called out assembly. After we have assembled and had the judgment seat and the marriage of the Lamb, 7 years later, we come back with Jesus to Mount Zion and then rule for 1,000 years. And then we're taken to the heavenly city, the heavenly Jerusalem. Now look at verse number 23. To the general assembly are Panagurus, and that's all the angels, and the church of the firstborn, I love this, which are written in heaven. What does it mean? It means that my name is written in heaven. May I take that little term written and tell you what it means? It means enrolled and inscribed. It means enrolled and inscribed in heaven. It doesn't mean somebody took a pencil and wrote my name in the Lamb's Book of Life so you can erase it. It doesn't mean somebody took a pen and an ink and put my name in the Lamb's Book of Life so you can cover it up like you do a tie. It doesn't mean I'm typed in the Lamb's Book of Life. It means I am engraved in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, when you engrave something on a plaque, you can't take it off. You've got to throw away the plaque. So if my name is engraved tonight in the Lamb's Book of Life, the only way you can get me out of it is throw away the Lamb's Book of Life. And that's not possible. So I am enrolled, indelibly so, and engraved, and at this time, I'll get to see my name. I always will see my name in print. I've got a closet over there in my, you talk about Fibber McGee's closet. His closet was mild compared to mine. I've got, it's a little doojigger above a closet, and the whole thing opens, but it's got a, about like this, and then it's got a second compartment. And I've got advertisements over there, and revival campaigns, and newspaper articles, not all of them, but I have, if you opened that thing and just blew on it, it would take you and I a month to pick up all the papers. Most of them are yellowed now because of time, but I love to see. I went down when I was 18 years old and in World War II and joined the paratroopers. They had to have proof of my birth. Now, that is the most idiotic thing I've ever seen in my life. I told them, I guarantee you I was born. And my mother will verify it, because she was close to me at the time. And I guarantee you. But I took a trip down to Italy, Texas, and went upstairs and in the offices there, and nobody was there except an old man asleep. And I said, "Could I look in the archives here?" And I looked it up, and I saw my name. There it is, folks. I was born, and I have a certificate in my pocket that can prove it. I was born. By the way, I was born again. And one of these days, at this moment, I'm going to go up in the archives of heaven, and I'm going to see my name engraved in the Lamb's Book of Life, because I am already enrolled. So, that's that. Now we'll see that as a church. The roll will be called. And so you say, well, is that going to take a long time? Yes, but we have a long time to left, and it's going to last quite a while. All right? So I am enrolled in heaven. Now look, if you would, again at verse number 23. To the general assembly, that's the Panagurus, that's the angels talked about up in verse number 22, and the church of the firstborn, that's the called out assembly, meaning the Lord in the air, which are written in heaven, that's enrolled and inscribed in heaven, and to God. Let's stop right there a minute. We're going to see God. Remember what I said a while ago? I said that we will see our angels. And angels are what? Ministering what? So we can see spirits, Didn't it say in John chapter 4, didn't Jesus say to that woman beside the well, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth? No. So if we can see spirits, we can see God. Now you say, what's God going to look like? I've got the foggiest idea. Don't know what God's going to look like, what Jehovah God, the Father. I do believe that there'll be a way we can see God. Now, Jesus is the one after whom you and I were created in God's image, but our bodies are like his body, and in the sense that he was visible like we, but Jehovah God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. I think one of the most exciting things about this time, when we as a church, and we'll be together. Look, I don't think that the rapture, that we're all going to be up there like a big mob, and I'm going to say, where's my mommy? I don't think so at all. It's not going to be like a shopping spree in Chicago the day after Thanksgiving. We're going to be together. You think God's going to let us get up in the air? Help! Help! Oh, my mommy! No, no, no. All of us will be together. The Bible, okay, for example, it says that when Isaac died, he was called to his brethren. And it said that in the kingdom age, now that's when the church is here, in the kingdom age, it said many shall come and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Why? Because Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are sitting around the same table. Why? Because that's the father, the son, and the grandson. And so we'll be together, and all of us will enjoy together seeing our name, and I can see a bunch of us now, and we won't have to gather around a book, because how they're recorded, I don't know. Maybe everybody have his own private computer, and we'll have a time. I'll say, hey, Doc, there's your name, right? I guess your name's going to be there. There's old Dr. Evans. I never thought that rascal would make it. And there's old Jorgensen. I thought he'd sleep through it. I absolutely didn't think he'd make it. There's old Jim Vineyard. He's up here. I thought he'd run by it. But we'll be together, and we'll see our Jehovah God. What he's like, I don't know, but we'll see him. Because we will have spiritual eyes to see a spirit, and as angels are ministering spirits, even so is our God ministering spirit. Now, don't leave that thought. We're going to come back to that also in just a few minutes. All right, look at verse number 23 again, please. And to the general assembly, that's the angels, and the church of the firstborn, that's the raptured ones, which are written in heaven, that's engraved and enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. Now, I love this line. When we are raptured and we become a church, then we are called to God and to the spirits of just men made perfect. Let's go back down there. What are the angels? They're ministering what? And we will see them, right? And what is God? God is a what? And they that worship him must worship him in what? And in? Okay, we'll be able to see spirits. We'll be able to see what the form of Jehovah God. But it says also that we'll be called to the spirits of just men made perfect. Now, I'm a just man. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not perfect, but I'm just. I'm justified in the sight of God, just as if I've never sinned. So consequently, at that time, I will be a just man made perfect. See? So, as a just man made perfect, it says here, the spirits of the just men made perfect. What does it mean? It means we will be able to recognize each other by our spirits. Angels are ministering spirits. Won't we see angels? Jehovah God is a spirit. We'll see him. All right? Now, then we will also be able to see each other by our spirits. You see, man is a threefold creature. Man is a body. He is a soul. And he is a spirit. The body is this amazing hulk that you see standing before you tonight. The soul is this charming personality that flows so beautifully through this body. The spirit is that which was born again when I got saved when I was almost 11 years old. Now, the body is that which you see. The soul is that which I communicate with you. And the spirit is that with which I communicate with God. Now,
My spirit will then be made perfect, and so will yours. So you will not only see me and know me by my body, but you will likewise know me by my spirit. Just like you'll recognize Gabriel, who is a spirit, you'll recognize Jehovah God, who is a spirit, and you'll recognize me by my spirit. I wonder what you're going to look like. You better get your makeup on. What's your spirit going to look like? Huh? So, we're called to the spirits of just men made perfect. Look at verse number 24. And, here's the main event, and to Jesus. That's it. When the church is called out, and the church is, when the church becomes, all believers become a church, then we will rule with him, we will live in the New Jerusalem as a church with him, we shall see our names written in the book of life, engraved, and see our enrollment in the book of life, we shall see our angels, we shall see the Spirit, our Jehovah God, we will know each other by our spirits as well as our bodies, and then, bless God, we will see Jesus. And that's the big thing. All right, look at verse 24 again. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and all these ands means we're called up to these things, and to the blood of sprinkling. What does that mean? Just like the high priest came on the 10th day of the 7th month, the 10th day of the month, on the Day of Atonement, and took the blood of that goat inside the holy place and sprinkled that Holy of Holies and sprinkled that blood on the mercy seat in the presence of the glory of God underneath the wings of the cherubim beaten of gold. Even so, when our Savior rose from the dead, he took his own blood. Mr. MacArthur, to the contrary, he took his own blood, and he took that blood as our high priest. That's why he died as our atonement. He rose for our justification. He died as our sacrifice and rose to take our blood to the very mercy seat in heaven, and the blood of Jesus tonight is on that mercy seat, and bless God, we get raptured, we'll get a good look at that blood. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. And we'll then see that very blood. You talk about, and by the way, this is all on one big conducted tour of the Holy Land. I guess one of the most amazing things I've ever been in my life was back 23 years ago or so, I took 67 of our people to the Holy Land. As you know, we toured Dallas, Fort Worth, Houston, Austin, and many of those towns. But we had a time. I mean, we just had a time. We saw the holy places and the holy things, and we had a time. Can you imagine how when all of us get together and all of us raptured, and our church will all be together? God's not going to put us up there with a bunch of saved Presbyterians. God's going to keep us together. We're going to be together. All the Christians will be together, but each local unit will still be together. I have a chapter in my book on strength and beauty, on the love circle. God's going to keep those of us that are together on earth together then. And you think we won't have a time? Look at there. That's him. That's Jesus right there. That's him. And look at there. That's his blood. They're on the mercy seat. And look at there. There's old Gabriel. I know you anywhere, Gabe. Yeah. And there's my angel, you loafing rascal, you. And then I'll say, I'll see Brother O'Clair's spirit walking. And if I can see something that small, I'll say, that's Bob O'Clair right there. And we'll all do it together. And to the blood of the sprinkling, I like this little line, that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Now, what does that mean? Let me show you what that means. After Cain had killed Abel, it says this, and the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? He said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. That means this talking blood. The Bible says right here, It says the blood of Jesus on the altar will speak better things than that of the blood of Abel. Brother Jesus will say, hey, I was shed for you.
Hey, look at me.
I'm the sacrifice. I'm the justification. Look at me. I washed away your sins. Your sins are all underneath me. It's talking blood. Now I'm a patient to ask this question. Will there then be local churches? If all Christians become a church, will there then be local churches? The answer is very affirmatively yes. All Christians will be assembled, but during the millennium and likewise during heaven, we will have local assemblies and we will have church. Open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 11. I thought it was. Let's see. Wherefore remember that ye being time past. I'm in Ephesians, no wonder. It's all good, right? It's all good. But not, I got worried to death there for a while. Hebrews chapter 2. For that, by the way, all kidding aside, you know, in the Greek, the word Hebrews looks like the English word Ephesians. I thought I'd tell you that because I know what I'm doing. For both he that sanctifieth, this is the 11th verse of the second chapter of Ephesians, Hebrews, for both he that sanctifieth and they are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. That's Jesus is not ashamed to call me his brother, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the church, and I will sing praise unto thee. One of these, we got a big day during the millennium, and we're going to have a special soloist, and Jesus is going to sing. He said, I will sing in the church. Now look to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. Verse number 30. Page 1108. That ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. In my kingdom, he said, that ye may eat and drink with me at my table in my kingdom. Jesus is talking about is the Lord's Supper, or some folks call communion. He is going to partake of communion with us in the kingdom. Well, communion, or the Lord's Supper, is a church ordinance. So if it be a church ordinance, I have no doubt but that we'll be assembled. We'll be living all the world. You think we're never going to get together? Well, of course we're going to get together. And by the way, in the millennium, we're going to have evangelistic services. Yeah, we'll still get folks saved. Because in the millennium, some people won't be saved. And we're still going to be living nothing. Won't it be good to have a glorified body? You know, the alarm goes off on Sunday morning, and man, you say, feel great. In fact, you may not sleep. And you come to church and you won't even go to sleep. And you'll feel great. And Jesus will sit at the Lord's Supper table. I never hand these trays out at Lord's Supper time without thinking about this. Can you imagine? You know, sometimes we have our services here. I look back in, I'll see the mayor of Hammond walking in. Can you imagine in the kingdom age we have in church, or in the tribulation period, Dr. Willa Colson will be conducting church. But can you imagine in the kingdom age we have in church, and all of a sudden I'm passing out the trays and I look back and there he walks the Savior down the aisles. And I said to Jesus, you come on up here and you pass this out. And he stands up here beside me, and I put my arm around him. He puts his arm around me. And those wounds are still there in his hands. And we'll see the wounds that our bread represents and see the blood, maybe still trickling some, or at least see the wounds to which the blood came that our juice represents. God's got some wonderful things ahead for us. Wonderful things ahead for us. And that day when this local church, all believers, are called up to meet the Lord in the air, and then we become the church in the sky, and then all believers will form one church, but there still will be local units of praise and worship and fellowship with God's people. Now, in the kingdom age, we'll have glorified bodies. In fact, everybody will have a body about like the one that I have now. And, well, that sure dampened the spirit of this service, I'm not even sure. But we'll all have glorified bodies, and some, and the millions of people on the earth that will not have glorified bodies. And they will enter into the kingdom, and I don't have time to go into that, the judgment of the nations and so forth, but they will enter into the kingdom without their glorified bodies. But that's no problem. Jesus and Peter ate together, ate fish together, and Jesus had a glorified body and Peter didn't. Jesus talked to those fellows on the road to Emmaus, and they fellowshiped, and Jesus had a glorified body, and they didn't. When the transfiguration time came, this little sneak preview of the kingdom age, there were physical bodies, glorified bodies, and even the sukkial body in heaven, and they had no problem interacting with each other. So the church will continue, and even in heaven, in the New Jerusalem, we will still meet and fellowship and praise the Lord and rejoice and have a great time. And in those days, glorified buses never break down, never run out of gas. They'll be raptured at the rapture, and in the air they'll be given their glorified bodies. They'll ride on glorified axles. And all right, shall we stand, please?